AM Emory and WBZH 910 AM W245CT Hayward.
Always streaming on ABC the Civic
News,
Media
I'm
app.
Chuck Sievertson. 4 weeks into the autoworkers' strike against the Big Three.
We are winning. We are making progress, and we are headed in the right direction.
Autoworkers Union President Sean Fain announcing they secured a major concession with General Motors, which agreed to unionize electric vehicle battery manufacturing. A three-day strike by 75,000 Kaiser Permanente employees will end at 6 a.m. tomorrow. So far, no agreement on pay or working conditions. The New Jersey Attorney General's Office has opened an investigation into a 2018 fatal car crash involving the then-fiancé of Senator Bob Menendez. He wants to know if police officers who responded were pressured to find it accidental. This is the latest legal hurdle for Menendez and his now wife, who are facing bribery charges. Former President Trump's civil fraud trial will continue next week. Today, an appellate judge rejected a motion to delay it. This is ABC News. Delta Airlines will pay tens of millions of dollars to customers who were allegedly refused cash refunds when flights were canceled during the pandemic.
When airline traffic plummeted during the pandemic, airlines tried to find ways to not have to pay cash back to passengers, trying to entice them to let the airlines keep their money for use on a future flight. But if an airline cancels a flight and you don't want to take another one, they must offer a cash refund. Delta was accused of only offering flight credits and refusing to pay back customers. Delta says it is not admitting any wrongdoing, but it will pay $27 million plus attorney's fees to over 14,000 people who signed up by last month to be compensated.
ABC's Alex Stone. A Colorado judge has ruled the accused gunman in a 2021 mass shooting at a Boulder supermarket is competent to stand trial. Ahmad Al-Alawi Alissa faces 115 criminal charges, including 10 counts of first-degree murder for the shooting at the King Super supermarket in March 2021. Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
The key slides into the ignition. The engine rumbles to life. My hand grips the throttle. New gear for my ride. The road, my invitation. The sound, the smell, the exhilaration. I am one with the bike. And the car in front of me suddenly turns in my lane. Motorcycles are everywhere, but too often go unnoticed. Please, always look twice, be alert, and share the road with motorcycles at all times. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Transportation.
One in four car batteries is weak and needs to be replaced. Let our professional parts people test your battery for free at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's the most competitive sport for all to enjoy, and Milwaukee is even the capital for it. It's bowling, and the oldest bowling alley is in Wisconsin. Holler House is home to the two oldest sanctioned lanes in the U.S. and are still made of the wood installed in 1908. The building on West Lincoln in Milwaukee looks the same. Musicians Joe Walsh and Jack White have thrown a ball down those 115-year-old lanes. Now, can you guess the tradition that continues here to this day? A hot beef sandwich, just 25 cents. The pins still set by people. Swear and you're tossed out. The answer coming up. The fifth and sixth generations run Holler House, so some odd history does remain, like bras hanging from the rafters. The alleys have even been featured in the Wall Street Journal and Sports Illustrated. So what's your guess about the continuing tradition? It's the pins still being set by people. No machines here. These stories make it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
Time out!
Oh, right! Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
The Todd Alba Show.
You can't impeach someone before they've committed an alleged crime. Even
principled conservatives are going to look at that action and say, come on, what's going on?
The Todd Alba Show.
Dan Knoedl, Republican of Germantown, said he was moving forward to uphold his quote-unquote constitutional duty, which is a joke.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
It's never personal, only politics. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show with Dom and Crute. Weekdays from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
That's GreatWallEdina.com.
Portions of Native Roots Radio may be pre-recorded.
You're listening to the best of Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. I'm your host, Wakunja Hade, Distant Thunder. My colonized name is Robert Pilot. We discuss national and local Native American news and events. As we all know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues. A kutagi to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Strong Hearts Native Helpline. October is Domestic Violence Awareness Month. Join Strong Hearts Native Helpline CEO Lori Jump for a virtual event, Let's Talk Empowerment, at 1 p.m. Eastern Time on October 17, 2023. Join us for a special online event featuring Lori Jump, CEO of Strong Hearts Native Helpline, as she leads an engaging and enlightening conversation on the pressuring issue of domestic and sexual violence within Native communities. This event will delve into the crucial intersection between these forms of violence and the significance of culturally specific services and resources. Strong Hearts Native Helpline, free, confidential, anonymous, 24/7. Call or text 1-844-762-8483. That's 1-844-7-NATIVE, or chat online at www.strongheartsnativehelpline.org.
Wow, what a great organization, and it sounds like a cool event coming up there. We've had them on the show, and it's funny, we all started around 7 years ago, and their growth has been unbelievable. They're 24/7 now. They're all over the country, and also the interactive stuff is just amazing, because one of the things, too, we talked about was that they sometimes it's hard to come forward and around your own people because everyone's so connected and related. So that was some really good points. Reach out to them if you need help. Hey, we're here. It is Friday, and we're here with State Senator Mary Kunish, and a lot going on and a lot happening. And it's always our pleasure to have the state senator on Fridays to talk a little bit about her journey, but her journey that really has a lot to do with our state's journey. So, State Senator, thank you so much for coming on.
Mataki ape, everybody. It's really good to be here with you, Haley and Robert, on. Well, the sun's finally coming out. It's been a kind of a cold, drizzly day after we just had record highs. It's now in the 50s. But I see the sun is finally coming out, and we might just end up with a lovely afternoon.
Yeah, definitely. Hey, I want to give you a congratulations. Rumor has it you won an award. Can you talk to our audience here? I know you're very humble, but I wanted to bring that up and kind of surprise you with it. You had a pretty prestigious award. Can you tell our audience what that was?
Well, as you know, I was a library media specialist for about 20 years. Before and during my legislative times. And, you know, one of the things that when I ran for office and was elected is that I really wanted to address the lack of support, and especially financial support, for our school libraries and our public libraries too. And so this year I was able to wrangle some money for our libraries across Minnesota. I was able to add $4 million increase into our regional library, just the basic system. We increased funding to our Minnesota multi-county, multi-type library system, and then added legacy funding for our regional public schools of 2.75. And then getting back to the schools, and I just felt it was really important that we continue to elevate the role and the value of having a licensed library media specialist in a school. And so we allocated $23 million in new funding to our school libraries. And then we set aside $1 million in one-time grants for those that are studying to be or will become a library media specialist. And because of those kind of investments, I've just been hearing wonderful stories across Minnesota, what a difference it makes. But as to the award, the Minnesota Library Association awarded me, honored as a champion of the library across Minnesota. And it's just a really exciting thing to be recognized by my peers and recognize the fact that, you know, those dollars that we're putting in there are going to make a real, real big difference. And the award is called the Above and Beyond Award. And I think we've gone above and beyond what has been invested in our libraries for the lack of it for decades and decades. And so I hope to continue to be able to support our libraries, our library media specialists, because when we look at reading and literacy, it's not just about books, it's about technology, it's about being able to choose reading and learn to read for enjoyment as well as for learning. And those are some of the things that our library media specialists do. So I was very, very honored for that award.
Well, we're going to give you some applause here. I don't know if you can hear it. Yay. But also, too, it's really exciting that bills are being passed by people that are boots on the ground, that have been experienced, in what schools specifically. And so that's awesome. It makes sense. A lot of times, you know, I heard the nationally, you know, on another radio show that they're sending all these like rifles and machine guns to Ukraine, but they aren't giving them things to clean it with, to fix it, repair it with, or scope. Yeah. So once you get people on the ground that really know what they need is when really a true change and support happens. So congratulations, and congratulations to your people to realize that's big. Yeah.
It was fabulous walking into a ballroom full of my people, like major goosebumps. And there are a lot of the folks that I worked with or that I, associate with, trying to advocate for our libraries and that sort of thing across the state. So I was just thrilled.
That's awesome. Congratulations. Hey, we only got like 3 minutes left here, so we might have to, talk a little bit more about this in the next segment too, but I know we always ask you what you're doing, what's happening, but it sounds like you've been on a tour of schools, and I'd love to hear about that.
Yeah, I'll start us off. So as the chair of education finance in the Minnesota Senate, we are responsible for allocating the dollars that go to our school districts. And we had a surplus to use, but we also had, you know, the regular funding that goes into our schools. So we were able to really invest an extraordinary amount of money into our schools, I think $5.3 billion into it. And for a first-time chair of a Senate committee, that was really daunting in the beginning. But then when you look at the list and the expectations across our state for where those monies and those dollars should go. It was, you know, again, not enough, just not enough. But so what we decided to do this summer, state representative or state senator Steve Swadzinski is the chair of education policy. Mm-hmm. So he and I talked about going around the state and visiting with schools and talking with the kids, talking with the teachers, talking with to the admin. Just like you were saying, it's those people, those boots on the ground people that really know the lowdown of everything. And so this week we spent two full days traveling first around the Twin Cities and then the second day down to southern Minnesota. And maybe when we come back, if you want to keep talking about it, I'll tell you a little bit more about that.
Yeah, well, we got another minute, but that's a exciting. It's hard for your job to be doing all this traveling, but it's also very gratifying, I imagine, too, to see your support and what you are supporting, too. So yeah. That's really interesting. Hey, we're with State Senator Mary Kunish, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake.
Stay with us. If the statistics say that one in three Native women and one in six Native men have experienced sexual assault in their lifetime, it means our whole community is affected by sexual violence. One is too many. Don't stand by. Stand up. Don't engage in acts of sexual violence and shut down the dirty jokes, the gossip, the victim blaming and shaming. As a community, we can change the way we respond. Contact the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition to attend a workshop to learn more.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Bonjour, hello. My name is Wabin. I am an enrolled member of the White Earth Nation, descendant of the Navajo Nation, and co-chair of the Indigenous Employee Resource Group with the Minnesota Department of Transportation. MnDOT is hiring for a variety of positions from road maintenance to accounting and more. We offer great benefits. For more information or to set up a one-on-one resume and application assistance, visit mn.gov/careers or you can text or call 612-257-2388. 612-257-2388.
Hey, it's Tom. Since 2009, All Energy Solar has been providing solar energy solutions to customers. With fully licensed electricians and installers, you can be sure that your solar installation will go smoothly. The team at All Energy Solar understands that every customer is unique. They'll take the time to survey and understand your property to find a solar solution that works for you. One of the biggest advantages of going solar is the opportunity to take advantage of the many solar incentives available. But it can often be confusing to know what you're qualified for. All Energy Solar professionals will help you find out what savings you can apply for and even help with your applications. This is especially important since many rebate programs have limited capacity and are first come, first serve. So it's important to have a professional on your side who will make sure you get every eligible rebate. Get a free no obligation assessment from All Energy Solar's commercial solar specialists by calling 800-620-3370 or visit allenergysolar.com.
Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Clinic on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis, honoring health and tradition.
Yes, they do. And speaking of health and tradition, we have State Senator Mary Kunish on here, and we're talking a little bit from the last segment about her tour of schools and some interesting things that have happened and where she's been. So again, State Senator, thanks for coming back on.
Sure. We're talking about the tour that Senator Swadzinski and I are taking around the state to visit all the as many different schools as we can. And so this week we went out on Tuesday and headed just in the area of Eden Prairie. So we went to Eden Prairie High School, which is huge. It's a huge, huge building. And honestly, it feels like you're almost on a college campus. The programs that they have to offer are extraordinary. And, you know, they're wealthy. They're a very sufficient, financially sufficient school district. And so they don't have the necessarily the struggles that a lot of the other schools in our districts have. But we sat in there and watched an elective course around it's aviation, but it's like figuring out the airspace around airports. And how, there's a online pro or a website that you can go to, and you can look up and see where really anywhere in the country something's happening because of the restrictions around the airlines. So there are kids that by the time they finish their courses might have a small airplane licensure or something like that. So that was pretty extraordinary. And then we went into an independent school district. It's a cooperative, and this was a unique school because it's where a lot of different school districts come together and support a school that is working with the kids that struggle the most and probably have some severe behavior issues around all of those things. And I think a lot of it has to do, of course, with homelessness, with transiency, with just the lack of resources in the family. And so we got to hear from some pretty extraordinary kids that are bent on turning themselves around and getting their degree, not just a GED, but getting their degree and learning some of the coping mechanisms that it takes to really work out in the real world. So that was pretty great. And then we visited the Purpich School of Arts. Are you familiar with that, Robert?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, this is a really unique school because it's a school specifically and only for the arts. It actually has boarding school capabilities. So any kid from Minnesota can attend that school and have the choice to live in the dorms. But then when they took us around and saw all the incredible work that these students are doing with visual arts, with graphic arts, with music, it was really, really neat. And there are a lot of people that think that it is an unnecessary school, that we shouldn't be using our dollars in that way. But they also provide extraordinary resources, professional development and professional programming for anyone, any of the teachers in the state. So there's lots there. And I hadn't visited that school for a long time, but I'm glad we did.
How old do you have to be to go to that school? Is that K through 12 or?
No, it's just for 11 and 12 graders.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that's a really good question. And also one of the things that I always try to remind people too is that, you know, music, for instance, is another language you're learning. You know, that's something you can take with you all your life. And we should be educating people to think outside the box. Where are our next great artists coming from? You know, we don't want to stifle them. We want to help them grow. And so I think that's a really important way about teaching people in that school specifically.
Yeah. And I mean, just like we have other specialty schools, these schools are important to those students. And they have to meet the same rigorous academic standards and meet all the same testing regulations that every other school does. And I think it's worth the investment when there are so many, there's such a focus on testing, on reading and math and science, and we forget about the arts and how important that is to individuals. So I was really glad that we stopped there.
Right. Well, they're all connected too. And, you know, arts and science and critical thinking, you know, they're connected. And also I really like the fact that that the school, there's critical thinking going on all the way. And I mean, testing on Testing to the test has been a thing that I think, as you know, as an educator, we've been fighting for many years, because what are you really teaching them?
Yeah.
Go ahead, Haley. Sorry, I cut you off.
Oh, no, you're okay. I was just going to say earth without art is just eh, if you spell it that way. So
very clever. Thank you, Jen Z.
Yeah. And then yesterday we headed south. We drove down to Red Wing, and there's a beautiful mural that just was presented to the community. And it's just before you take that, you're going down 61, and just before you take the left onto the bridge to go to Wisconsin, there's this beautiful mural. I'm sure it's of Chief Red Wing and a teepee village with this huge Tatanka buffalo. And it's just a really lovely, lovely mural. So we stopped to see that on our way down to the Red Wing Boys School. There's a boys school for incarcerated youth and some adult men. And we went to learn about how they are educating those boys and helping them learn and get the tools to live out in the general public again. And again, the stories that we heard, we saw those boys working so hard. The staff is incredible. And that school has been around for a long, long time, because I remember my dad back in the 60s, maybe early 70s, he was on the probation team or whatever it was for the boys' school. And he'd have to go down there every so often and listen and decide, make that decision to put a boy on probation or if he needed a little bit more time. But it really felt really safe there, and like the boys were comfortable there. I you know, you hate to say they're comfortable when they're incarcerated.
Wow.
But like one of the folks there, the staff member, said, you know, this is for them, this is really safe. This is they've got a place to sleep. It's warm, it's cool, food, but it's also, you know, they don't have to be on guard all the time. And some of them come from very, very violent communities. And in this instance, they can let their guard down. They can be who they are and then catch up on their education. It was amazing how they were saying so many of the boys excelled academically because, again, they were in a safe place with adults that cared and were there to help them 24/7. And, you know, the amount of progress they make in their education is just phenomenal. So that was another really good place to stop.
How many learners are in that facility?
I think at this point, at this time, it was, I might have it right here with me, but I would say maybe around
160
boys there.
Relatively small, but that's good. That's very good.
Yeah, they have cottages, and there's the maximum is 16 to a cottage. It's beautiful campus. Just off of Highway 61 in Red Wing. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of good things there. Again, they help the kids get ready for college and let them, you know that college certainly is an option, not just going into the trades, but they also have programs to help them learn some of the trades. And then they're able to work outside of the facility under the mentorship of trained tradesmen. So they really are trying to get as many tools in the toolbox, let's say, to get these kids into a successful life coming out of the reformatory.
Well, we know that's important. And we just met with Bobby Wilson, and we're going to have him on next week, Reservation Dogs. But he went through a similar situation and really caught on to art. I didn't really realize Bobby was such a big mural artist and where that came from, but it was somewhat come from being incarcerated and really having a stable place. So you just never know, and you got to be, I know as being a former teacher, a lot of people, including myself, were late bloomers. So that's awesome. Hey, we're here with State Senator Mary Kunish. And,
connecting with you on air, online, and on the Civic Media app. This is Lake Air 1260 AM, WLAK, Amory's radio station.
ABC News, I'm Daria Albinger. This has been an historic week for organized labor, with major developments in two strikes. A three-day walkout by 75,000 Kaiser Permanente workers ended ahead of schedule, with formal talks set to resume on Thursday on pay and working conditions. There's no agreement yet in the United Auto Workers strike against Detroit's Big Three, but there's progress. GM's agreed to unionize plants which make EV batteries.
We've been told for months that this is impossible. We've been told the EV future must be a race to the bottom. And now we've called their bluff.
Union President Sean Fain. Former House Speaker Kevin McCarthy says he is not resigning from Congress and that he's planning to seek re-election. An appellate judge rejected former President Trump's motion to delay his civil fraud trial while he fights a pre-trial ruling which could strip him of some of his properties. This is ABC News.
A new head coach.
We got one objective and one goal, is to play for a championship.
A talented backfield.
Braylon Allen does it again.
And a defense that just...
Down he goes.
Won't...
Intercepted. He's gone.
Stop.
Another turnover forced.
Join us Saturday. It's the Big Ten home opener against Rutgers. Our coverage begins at 9 a.m. on your home for Wisconsin football.
WLAK 1260 AM, Lake Air Amory.
It's the most competitive sport for all to enjoy, and Milwaukee is even the capital for it. It's bowling, and the oldest bowling alley is in Wisconsin. Haller House is home to the two oldest sanctioned lanes in the U.S. and are still made of the wood installed in 1908. The building on West Lincoln in Milwaukee looks the same. Musicians Joe Walsh and Jack White have thrown a ball down those 115-year-old lanes. Now, can you guess the tradition that continues here to this day? A hot beef sandwich, just 25 cents. The pins still set by people? Swear and you're tossed out. The answer coming up. The fifth and sixth generations run Haller House, so some odd history does remain, like bras hanging from the rafters. The alleys have even been featured in the Wall Street Journal and Sports Illustrated. So what's your guess about the continuing tradition? It's the pins still being set by people. No machines here. These stories make it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
It's the Wild West of how students are using generative AI.
As educators, there's sort of six responses that we can have to these new tools. We could ignore it. Mm-hmm. We could ban it. We can try and outfox it. We can teach about it. We can actually teach it, or we can teach with it. I think the most exciting one, of course, is to teach with it.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
David Drake is a professor and the Extension Wildlife Specialist at UW-Madison. Greg, tell him what you call him.
I now refer to you as Jane's birder boyfriend.
It wouldn't be the first time.
Whoa!
Now I have competition.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Oh, God, I am wounded.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Brock. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Brock.
Well, he had a little chat with management yesterday, and I did suggest a daily limo and a fruit plate.
How'd they take that?
That didn't seem to take that seriously for some reason.
I have full faith in you. You've been doing this for a long time. And you have Greg Bach.
I got a call from management this morning saying if I'd be interested in taking on new roles as a driver and buying fruit plates. That's it.
Order for takeout and view the extensive menu at GreatWallyDina.com. Conveniently located just south of 50th and Francity Dina. Again, GreatWallyDina.com.
Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
They do great work all over Turtle Island. And I say this every time, what a great partnership we've had with them over the years. And it's always great to hear Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition name. Hey, we're here with State Senator Mary Kunish, and it's our Fun Friday. And, you know, we're talking a lot about a lot of different things, but I think we should wind it up here, seeing it's Friday, and talk a little bit about Indigenous Peoples Day, which is coming up, State Senator.
Yeah, that is, of course, nationally on Monday. And I think this year is going to be even better because we passed, again, legislation that made a difference for our Native communities. So this year, Representative Keeler and I worked on a bill together that recognizes Indigenous Peoples Day as a state recognized holiday for the very first time ever. I mean, I think it was very optional, and across the state, employees and schools and those sort of things, you know, had a choice around it. But for the first time ever, Minnesota is going to observe Monday as a state recognized holidays. If schools are going to be open, they are obliged to devote at least 1 hour to informing students about its significance. And I know you and I have a whole list of activities that are going on around the Twin Cities, starting with the annual sunrise ceremony at Bede Makaska, which I always look forward to. It's such a moving ceremony as the sun comes up over that beautiful, beautiful lake. Mm-hmm. And every year there's more and more people that are gathering, you know, Native and non-Native community members, allies, joining to welcome the sun in a good way on that very special day.
Absolutely. You know what I like too, State Senator? I know I see you there every year and I love going there too, is that we have a lot of representation that are just there to experience it. Do you know what I mean? They're kind of incognito, which is awesome. And I mean, people mention them, but I know like Ilham was there last couple of years. And so there's people out there supporting Indigenous Peoples Day in a good way, really supporting us.
Yeah. Yeah. And then from there, it just goes on to more and more lovely events. I think you've got a bunch posted on your Facebook page.
Yeah.
I know Little Earth tomorrow. So Little Earth Minnesota is doing a coat giveaway tomorrow. So that'll be Saturday, October 7th. And they're giving away Carhartt jackets. So really, really great warm jackets to get through this next winter season. So they're giving away these jackets for grades K-8. And it's first come, first serve, and lunch will be provided for Little Earth residents. And this will be at 2501 Cedar Avenue Gym tomorrow at 11 a.m. to 2.
Hey, State Senator, do you mind bringing up to our people that are listening across Turtle Island what Little Earth community is, your knowledge of this community that's, I think, the first of its kind across the country, that American Indian movement had a lot to do with in getting built. So there's a lot of things happen there. A lot of urban Indians live there from all different tribes. And I wish I was young enough to go get one of those jackets too.
I know. So Little Earth is a really unique community. I think it spans over 9 acres, mm-hmm. and there are 200 plus housing units that are subsidized through HUD. Mm-hmm. And it's located right in the industrial core of Minneapolis. And it was originally developed, I think, back in the 70s. Right. And if I'm not mistaken, it's the only Indigenous preferred project that takes Section 8 rental assistance in the United States. Wow. In the whole United States. And so there's a really unique opportunity for our urban Indians to come together quite often. I mean, not just for housing, but for events across the, you know, across the urban core. And you might know more, a little more of this because you're more active in AIM. But you know, when there was the Relocation Act, mostly in the 60s, when the federal government realized it's really very expensive to keep these Indians on reservations and to provide all the things that they had promised as part of the treaties and the agreements, and so they tried to get them to move to the urban cores because they could, number one, they needed more people to work. They needed workers. Mm-hmm. So they thought, perfect, let's bring these Indians to the work that needs to be done. So they enticed them to come to big hubs like Chicago and Detroit, mm-hmm. and Minneapolis. And
LA, others. LA too, I heard.
Yep. Because of the air programs, the manufacturers out there. And so pulling all these natives and enticing them off the reservation, saying, we'll provide housing, we'll provide food, we'll provide school, we'll provide blah, blah, blah. And of course, that never really happened as usual. So now we have all these Native folks that came in off the reservation that were not savvy, that didn't have the housing that were promised. And again, disconnected them from their communities and their mm-hmm. culture. Mm-hmm. And a lot of our Native folks ended up down in that Franklin Avenue area, which is now has the American Indian Center and a lot of the resources for our tribal members. Mm-hmm. And of course, housing was necessary. And I think that's sort of roundabout how Little Earth came to be.
Absolutely. And I think you're right. You were saying American Indian movement had a lot to do with the Native corridor down there, including Little Earth and, you know, the late, great, my buddy, Clyde Belcourt, and then his brother, too. And the whole organization was really pushing hard back in the day. And the whole corridor is transforming again. And you mentioned the Indian Center, and that's being rebuilt and rethought for. I guess that hasn't been touched since the late 70s, early 80s. So that's exciting, too. We got to I got to mention this, and Haley and I have to mention this, is that on Friday and Saturday, Brooke LaFleau has a basketball tournament at Harding High School that we're supporting here at Native Roots Radio, and we're going to stop in and say hello. And building community, like with basketball, whether it's skateboarding or dancing or sewing or whatever, however you build community, I think, Mary, is what here at Native Roots Radio, and I know you, are all about.
Yeah, community is everything, mm-hmm. especially when you are a unique community, like being of Native descent or African American or Somali or Hmong, or you know, all the different beautiful cultures that we have here. When you're looking for that safety and the security of home, finding your community, the people that share the same values and the same food, the same music, the same dance, oftentimes the same perspective on most things. That's when you have that sense of being, that sense of belonging, and that safety of who you are.
Absolutely. I just want to let everyone know, too, listening, it's at Harding High School, 1540 East 6th Street in St. Paul. Check it out if you're in the area. It's open to everyone. It's free. And just seeing our young ones, I went to it last year, and just the things that you learn by being a team, whether it's a drum line, whether it's a color guard, whether it's basketball, baseball, you're in a community and to be taught in a good way. And what a bunch of respectful young people that were in this tournament. And I was really excited to see that. Monday from 10 to 2, there's also something happening. We're doing a live shoot for Native American, and that's at 10 to 2 p.m. and that's Indigenous Peoples Day. Trickster Tacos will be there, which I always want to give a shout out to them because the owner and his wife, the owner was a student of mine at Harding High School, and he's been just blowing up with Trickster Tacos.
And they'll be at the basketball expo as well.
Wow.
Yeah.
Jeez. They're everywhere. That's great. But they're going to be at AOIC for that. I think Steve, the Secretary of State, is going to be there giving them a Native American Community Development Institute an award because of make voting a tradition has been so successful in signing up Native Americans that have not ever voted before. So there's a whole bunch of things going on, Mary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it goes on. I mean, my day is so full. And, you know, there are a lot of folks out there that want to learn more about the work that's being done and about how our Indigenous communities are, you know, what are their struggles, but what are their successes also. And so I'm going to be doing Zoom kind of informational little mini conference with employees from Xcel Energy around, well, the title of it is How the U.S. Did the Indians Wrong. And it'll follow, it's kind of a review of all the different eras, just like I was talking about relocation era and all of those other things. People are hungry for knowledge around our issues. And this is one day that there's a lot of entities that are looking for that information. And so, yeah, it'll be a full day.
Wow. Great. Well, we'll looking forward to your report on that and the other schools that you're dropping in on. So really exciting. Thank you, State Senator Mary Kunish, for stopping in as usual and really filling us in and having a really good radio show every time. And again, thank you so much for spending time with us. It's very important, and I appreciate it. You're a very busy person. Hey, you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we'll be right back after this short break.
Stay with us.
At Metro State University, change the world your way. Students learn from expert instructors in high-demand degree programs, including healthcare, technology, cybersecurity, teaching, and business. As one of the most diverse universities in Minnesota, Metro State is a learning community dedicated to equity, inclusion, and anti-racism. Explore 60-plus high-quality bachelor's degree programs at Metro State University's open house events in person October 17th and online October 19th. Sign up at metrostate.edu/openhouse. Know your power. Metro State University. In recognition of Domestic Violence Awareness Month, this message is brought to you by Strong Hearts Native Helpline, a culturally appropriate domestic and sexual violence helpline for Native American and Alaska Natives. Advocates provide free support and advocacy 24/7. Call or text 1-844-762-8483, that's 1-844-7-NATIVE, or chat online at strongheartshelpline.org. Safe, anonymous, confidential, 24/7.
My grandpa Jim Warner treated his customers like family, and Warner Stallion is still doing that today. I'm Angela Warner, and to thank you for 69 years, Warner Stallion Appliance is offering unbeatable savings of up to 40% off. Free dishwasher installation and no interest for 2 years with your Warner's card. Plus, go to warnerstallion.com for an exclusive $50 coupon. These deals end October 18th, so hurry into one of our 10 Minnesota stores. You'll love your new appliances and Warner Stallion.
Kennedy Heating and Cooling reminds us to salute the brave men and women of our armed forces. Help keep troop morale high with cards and emails from home. Remember, by giving blood generously, you can save the lives of one of these brave soldiers overseas or that of an innocent victim right here at home. Be a silent hero and give the gift of life. That's from our good friends at Kennedy Heating and Cooling in St. Charles. They're always working to keep our community moving in a positive direction.
Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Yes, I wanted to put a little applause on that and didn't come out right. Hey, it's Fun Fact Friday with Wendy, and I know yesterday I wanted to do the fun facts, but today is Fun Fact Friday, so welcome, Wendy, and please introduce yourself to our listening audience and watching audience.
Yes, absolutely. Hey, everybody. My name is Hanajihihani. That means cares for them. I was given that name by my Dega Curtis. Curtis goes by Mashke Hanajingo, which means walks on white clouds. I'm a humane policy volunteer leader for the Humane Society of the United States, and I work on animal issues at the local and state level. And yes, today is Fun Fact Friday. So I've been picking off this list of 300 random animal facts, and we started from 300 and we're working our way to number one.
And then what happens? We just start all over?
I guess we'll start all over because everybody will forget all the fun facts, right?
Like, where did I hear that before?
I know. Sometimes I say it and I'm like, well, I don't know. I don't remember if I just read that or if I said it on the air. So I'm sure I repeat myself a lot. But
I say that sometimes when I'm dreaming.
Right.
Go ahead.
I know. All right, we're going to start on 97 and work our way to number one. The longest recorded lifespan of a slug was 1 year and 6 months.
Wow.
How do you suppose that they, you know, found that out?
I don't know. I just got the drama out
of
there.
I think that they make this up. Some of them I skip. Some of them I skip because I don't like them. So.
Oh.
I'm using my own discretion here.
So it's really like 240.
It could be, or maybe less. No two tigers have the same stripes. And this is how individual tigers can be identified. It's like a fingerprint.
Wow.
Yeah. Chocolate, macadamia nuts, cooked onions, or anything with caffeine is harmful to dogs. I think I've mentioned that before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good to bring that up.
Yeah, it is. And you should always look up something if you want to give your dog something, just look it up and make sure it's safe because they can't metabolize food the same way we do.
Right. Don't try.
Fireflies do not bite or have pinchers. Fireflies are harmless. They don't even carry diseases.
And they don't really spark fire per se. That's not a spark when you see fireflies. That's some kind of
electricity. We share 98.4% of our DNA with a chimp.
Well, that was before the aliens came and, never mind. That's a different show.
We share 70% of our DNA with a slug.
I know you do.
The fear of animals is called, do you have any idea, Robert?
No.
Okay. It's called, if you're afraid of animals, it's called zoophobia. So you're afraid to go to the zoo and you have phobia. And I just learned this pretty recently. Dogs have sweat glands in between their paws. That's so if they're really, really hot and they're sweating, then the first thing people normally want to do is take a wet paper towel or water and dump it on their back, but that could have the opposite effect and constrict their blood vessels and cause more harm than good. So you want to wrap their paws in wet paper towels and put the dog in the shade and give it lukewarm water to drink.
That's good to know because I think
and here's another one that I just remembered off the top of my head. If one dog is attacking another dog, the dog that's attacking.
This just went dark.
The dog that's attacking, you lift up their back feet and they'll stop because they can't attack if their back feet are off the ground.
Kind of the wagon wheel
like
we did as kids.
Wheelbarrow.
Wheelbarrow when we were kids.
Definitely. So you could do that too. Goats were the first animals domesticated by man in 10,000 BC.
So they were pets or?
I guess so.
Wow.
Killer whales are not whales at all. Rather, a species of dolphin.
Do they kill?
That's an orca. A killer whale is an orca.
Oh.
Wow. I didn't know that. That's news to me. I'd have to look that up.
One.
I'm not sure it's number 87. I think they're lying about that one.
Okay.
But we'll see.
So this is segment is kind of Fun Facts Friday.
And maybe some lies too.
Yeah.
The most poisonous fish in the world is the stonefish.
I believe it.
I don't even know.
I've seen those. They look like they have acne.
Yeah. The phrase "raining cats and dogs" originated in the 17th century England. During heavy rainstorms, many homeless animals would drown and float down the streets.
Wait, do you read these first?
I obviously didn't read that one.
I don't know if I want to hear this. It got dark again.
So they drowned and they floated down the streets, giving the appearance that it had actually rained cats and dogs. That's a sad one.
Can you cross that one
that's
out?
That's really not a fun fact. No, seriously.
I don't think that's a fact.
This website, I don't know. On the average, cows poop 16 times a day.
That's about right where I'm at, too.
Mm-hmm. The most dogs ever owned by one person were 5,000 Mastiffs owned by Kubla Khan.
Okay.
Whoever that was. Jaws is the most common name for a goldfish.
Since the movie, though, or the book, I should say that was first a book.
Lanomia oblique is the world's deadliest caterpillar.
Okay, I have no comment on that.
Yeah, I don't either. The ostrich has two toes on each foot, which gives it greater speed.
I would think the more toes you have. Cut off a couple toes here, I could be faster.
If you cut off a snail's eye, it will grow a new one.
Got dark again.
I really should read these first. Let's see. Like,
if you torture and cut off eyes of a snail.
This is not a good one either.
Yeah. She's proofreading them now.
I am. In 2003, Dr. Roger Mugford invented the wagometer, a device that claims to interpret a dog's exact mood by measuring the wag of its tail.
Hmm.
I don't think it was very popular because we would have heard more about the wagometer. They would have been selling it on Amazon for the low, low price of $19.99. And you could get it tomorrow between 5 and 10.
Free shipping.
A skunk will not bite and throw its scent at the same time.
Wow.
Deer can't eat hay.
Okay.
An elephant can smell water up to 3 miles away. I remember reading that one time. That's amazing.
Yeah. They need the water to take a shower.
Goats and sheep are seasonal breeders.
Well, yeah.
Oh, they got to get in the right mood in the right season. Reindeer milk has more fat than cow milk. Don't get any ideas, people.
Right.
George Washington's teeth were made of elephant ivory and walrus's tusks.
Is that real? Because I heard a whole bunch of different.
I heard his teeth were made of wood.
Yeah.
He had wooden.
I heard he could not tell a lie and he cut down some cherry tree and.
Was that George Washington?
Yeah.
Oh. A moth has no stomach.
Don't need one.
I guess so. A garden caterpillar has 248 muscles in its head. Somebody must have dissected that. In the very first bomb that the aliens dropped.
The aliens?
Allies. The very first bomb that the Allies dropped on Berlin in World War II hit an elephant. That's another bad one.
What
seriously.
The heck? We need to pre-fruit the fun facts.
I am.
Friday.
Okay, let's leave off on a good note. Most elephants weigh less than the tongue of a blue whale.
All right. Hey, thank you, Wendy, and great show today. Thank you, Senator Mary Kunish and Patrice for stopping in. We're still here. We are the seventh generation.
Free Leonard Peltier.
Have a good weekend, everyone.
It's the most competitive sport for all to enjoy, and Milwaukee is even the capital for it. It's bowling, and the oldest bowling alley is in Wisconsin. Holler House is home to the two oldest sanctioned lanes in the U.S. and are still made of the wood installed in 1908. The building on West Lincoln in Milwaukee looks the same. Musicians Joe Walsh and Jack White have thrown a ball down those 115-year-old lanes. Now, can you guess the tradition that continues here to this day? A hot beef sandwich, just 25 cents. The pin still set by people? Swear, and you're tossed out. The answer coming up. The fifth and sixth generations run Holler House, so some odd history does remain, like bras hanging from the rafters. The alleys have even been featured in the Wall Street Journal and Sports Illustrated. So what's your guess about the continuing tradition? It's the pin still being set by people. No machines here. These stories make it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
ABC News.